notebooks and newsbeats, hear that piano rail. Take down the facts, Ace, write up the tale. Deadlines and dreamers, someday we'll meet, if only they turn left on Bird Street. Don't be a fool, Ace. Trust nothing they say. Follow the money, make them all pay. Under a headline, over a beer, truth plainly told is what they most fear. Deadlines and dreamers, someday we'll meet down at the dark end of Bird Street. You're listening to Left Turn on Bird Street. Thanks for joining me this evening. My name is Dan Gilworthy, and our program is normally heard on KRBS 107.1 community-owned radio in Oroville, California. For our regular listeners, we have been on, that we being Tom Nadel, my co-host and I, have been on a bit of a sabbatical the last month or so. We're going to pick the program back up on a regular basis. And I like to say one of the reasons we're on a sabbatical, and I won't use the term because this program's heard on several community radio stations throughout the country, is F-up fatigue. That's what some of our favorite bloggers like Wanda at the Podunk Post calls it. Maybe the nicer, more cleaner term for FCC is Bush screw-up fatigue. And we've been certainly seeing a lot more of that in the last few weeks, like we haven't seen it in the last 5.5, 6 years. But recently there's been a few more developments that really lends itself to the Americans' feeling of the screw-up fatigue. The most recent incident, of course, was this last Friday's resignation of CIA Director Porter Goss. And on the surface, it was amazing in several different respects. First of all, the resignation of Porter Goss, except for a very few close intelligence insiders inside the Beltway, came as a complete surprise. And when Goss gave his resignation, it wasn't the type of thing that he wanted to spend more time with his family or resigning for personal reasons, which is just another way of saying he was fired. But it came quite unexpectedly. And this comes on the heels of another investigation into another person in the Bush administration, who is not only wrapped around Jack Abramoff, but is also wrapped around some rather interesting details. And these interesting details have to do with the person who was third in command at the CIA, a man by the name of Dusty Fogo, who it is alleged was running a prostitution and illegal poker games at the Watergate. Interestingly enough, the Watergate Hotel and apartment complex, an office complex in Washington, D.C. The allegations, and this is from I'm quoting now a story from the Christian Scientist Monitor, quote, the investigations have focused on the Watergate poker parties thrown by defense contractor Brent Wilkes, a high school buddy of Fogle's, that were attended by none other than disgraced former Rep. Randy Duke Cunningham and other lawmakers. Fogle has claimed that he went to the parties, quote, just for poker, amid allegations that Wilkes, a top GOP fundraiser and a member of the $100,000 pioneers of Bush's 2004 re-election campaign, provided prostitutes, limos, and hotel suites to Cunningham. Cunningham is serving an 8-year sentence after pleading to take taking $2.4 million in bribes to steer defense contracts to cronies. Wilkes hosted regular parties for 15 years at the Watergate and Westin Grand Hotels for lawmakers and lobbyists. Intelligence sources said Goss has denied attending the parties as CIA director, but that left open whether he may have attended as a Republican congressman from Florida who is head of the House Intelligence Committee. And that, again, is from the Christian Science Monitor, posted May 8th. So here we have it. Porthergost resigns, and the reason he resigns is because the third in command at the CIA, Mr. Dusty Fogo, is alleged to have run basically a prostitution and poker ring from the Watergate Hotel, and his associate, and he is ironically his high school friend, none other than Brent Wilkes, and he is the person who is gave the bribes to convicted Randy Duke Cunningham, former congressman from San Diego, who's now serving a 9-year sentence in federal prison for corruption charges, and they are associates. So it's not very hard to make the connection. Now, the next connection in this has to do with none, and this goes back to our good friend Patrick Fitzgerald, who's been investigating the Valerie Plame leak. And last week, Karl Rove testified for the fifth time before the grand jury investigating the matter. And this has led to great speculation on the blogosphere that Karl Rove will likely be indicted on perjury charges, among other things. So here you have it. You know, people are getting, it's really getting hard to keep track of what's going on with the Bush administration. In less than approximately 4 or 5 day span of time, we have reports surfacing right now in the blogosphere that Karl Rove is going to be indicted at a minimum on perjury charges. And this comes immediately after the resignation of Porthergost. And Porthergost resigned, it's alleged. And interestingly enough, as a side note, the allegations first surfaced on the blogosphere, and it took the mainstream media a couple days to pick up on the story. But basically, the story being circulated now, and it's not being denied, is that Goss resigned because his associate, Mr. Fogo, basically was in cahoots with Brent Wilkes, who is a person associated with Randy Duke Cunningham, who is now serving in prison. And what does all this mean to you? What does this all mean to the average American? And this is kind of the overriding theme of this program, is as I look around the blogosphere, and I'm not talking about the huge blogs like where people, they get millions of hits, but regular people like myself, people that have regular daytime jobs. And you can see it in there. There is so much happening. There's so much to keep up with that people are getting burnt out on it almost. And one can't help but wonder if this is actually part of the plan. There is so much corruption happening. There's so many different angles to the corruption from the Bush administration. One can't help but wonder, I can't help but wonder, if this is by design. So we have to ask ourselves, is this really something by design? Are they that corrupt that they don't really care about what's going on? I don't know. That's a good question. We all have to answer it at some point. But it goes to show that I think the corruption is so prevalent coming out of the Bush administration, so hard to keep up. And if you look at our blog, for instance, which is located at www.ltobs.blogspot.com, you notice there was a lapse in our coverage of these things. You look at some of the other links on our blogs, and you go to other liberal blogs, and for that matter, even some of the conservative blogs, I think they're getting tired of defending it. And it's piling up so fast and so furious. It's really hard to keep track of, and we're almost becoming desensitized to it. So with that, we're going to take a short break, and we'll be back in a minute. But you're listening to Left Turn on Bird Street. This program is regularly heard on KRBS 107.1 FM in Oroville, California. And our program is heard every other Saturday from 9 a.m. to 11 a.m. Pacific Daylight Time. And our show is actually broadcast over the the internet through Live 365, and you can click on it and find us when we broadcast live by going to the KRBS website, which is located at www.radiobirdstreet.org, and you just click through, and it's pretty easy to do. So with that, we're going to take a quick break, and we'll be back in a minute. Listening to Left Turn on Bird Street. This is a special edition. My name is Dan Gelworthy, and as I was saying a little earlier, my normal partner, Tom Nadel, and I have been on a bit of a sabbatical for the last couple months, so we're going to try to get back in the groove here. Our program is heard every other Saturday on KRBS 107.1 FM in Oroville, California, where we originate from. So thank you for joining me today. This program is also posted on radioforall.net. So if you're downloading or podcasting from radioforall.net, thank you for joining us very much. I'd also like to invite you to visit our blog on the internet. It's located at www.ltobs.blogspot.com. Or you can, if you're really a little bit lazy and you want to locate us, you can just go to Google or any of the search engines and type in LTOBS, and we come at the top of the queue. So thanks for joining me. I certainly appreciate you spending some time with us. Again, as I was talking before, we had our brief musical break. In the last 96 hours or so, it seems like the amount of minutiae coming from Washington and the Bush administration is overwhelming. We have the unexpected resignation of Porter Goss, and then we also have the indictment, and which would probably lead to a resignation of Karl Rove, Bush's so-called brain, Svengali, if you will, campaign guru. And it's interesting because the president, the decider in chief, has said all along that if there were any leaks in the White House, he wouldn't tolerate it. And several months ago, stemming from Special Prosecutor Patrick Fitzgerald's investigation, the first person indicted was Scooter Libby, Vice President Dick Cheney's chief of staff. And now it looks as though, if we're to believe what we read on the internet from a number of sources, and these just aren't blogs, most notably MSNBC, that the president's political guru, Karl Rove, is going to be indicted. This really shouldn't come as any surprise to us, because if there's one thing we have seen coming from the Bush administration, and you can almost trace it to the election evening of 2000, is the sheer ruthlessness of this group of politicians and people who are running our government. Karl Rove is the man really pulling the strings, in my opinion, on the political situation that we find ourselves in now. And just to recap for those of you he may not remember, this all stems from the Bush assertions that Iraq, and this, it all goes back to this, that Iraq possessed weapons of mass destruction, and they use this as justification in the build-up to war in Iraq. Well, as we all know, Ambassador Joseph Wilson was sent to Niger to investigate the claims of yellow cake uranium that Saddam Hussein was trying to purchase yellow cake uranium from Niger. Wilson reported back after his visit that he found no evidence. Even though he reported it back, the Bush administration and President Bush famously inserted 16 words into a State of the Union address claiming that Saddam Hussein, in fact, was trying to acquire weapons of mass destruction, specifically the yellow cake uranium. After the president did this, Ambassador Wilson went and published an op-ed piece in the New York Times basically refuting the president's claim and the administration's claim, that Saddam Hussein was in possession of this. And given the ruthless nature of this group, they could not and would not let that pass without some sort of retribution against Ambassador Joe Wilson. So what did they do? They did the best thing besides smearing him, is they smeared his wife. And what's interesting is his wife was a CIA operative. Her name is Valerie Plame. She had a cover as a business export person, and they basically outed her as a CIA agent. First of all, as a side note, this is something that's not really discussed very much in the media, and for that matter in the blogosphere, is that Ms. Plame, who had a business cover, obviously was dealing, it's come out later that she was dealing with Iran and their weapons program there, and she was operating under a cover. So all of a sudden, anybody who was associated overseas that may have been what the CIA calls an asset or an agent or a spy for the CIA, we really don't know. We have no idea of knowing, but one can only conjecture that several of the people that were working for her or who were in association with her were probably killed as a result of the Bush administration leaking this information to columnist Robert Novak, conservative columnist Robert Novak. So that's a point that's not often made in the media, that these people that were working with Valerie Plame on behalf of the United States government as effectively spies, one can only surmise that some of them were probably killed and we'll probably never find out about it. So I just wanted to bring that up. But getting back to the ruthless nature of the Bush administration, they could not let that go because they did not want to have anything stand in their way, any opposition, McCarthyism, if you will, a form of McCarthyism, more insidious than McCarthyism, really, if you think about it. They didn't want to have anything stop in their way in their build-up and their move to go to war with Iraq. So they outed her. And at the time she was outed, It took several months. In fact, this was something that was actually much like, if you look at history, this information was out in the public before the 2004 election, but the public chose not to listen to it. So after several grand jury investigations conducted by Special Prosecutor Patrick Fitzgerald, the grand jury handed down indictments against Lewis Libby for leaking the name of Valerie Plame to Robert Novak. And leaking the name of a CIA agent is a federal crime. So that's why Lewis Libby was indicted. So it's been several months since Lewis Libby's been indicted, and in that time subsequent to that, I believe the indictments were handed down last November, October, November of last year. And since that time, the grand juries have continued to investigate, and Karl Rove was again called to testify about a week and a half ago, his fifth appearance before that grand jury. This is what has fueled the speculation that Rove will be indicted. So, if we are to go on the presumption that Karl Rove will be indicted, what exactly does this mean to the president? What does it mean to the elections coming up this year? Well, first of all, it certainly can't be good news for Bush, because his approval ratings are down to his lowest ever in the low 30s, and interestingly, they're even low by Fox News polling information. So this certainly cannot help the president one bit. Beyond that, I can't help but wonder, though, if Americans are going to be able to grasp the whole situation. Call me a pessimist, call me a fatalist, but somehow I feel that the American public is still not going to be able to grasp this, even given the president's low polling numbers. I think part of the reason, a big part of the reason Bush has low polling numbers is not necessarily because of the corruption coming out of the this one corruption case, the leaks involving Valerie Plame. They has to do as much with the unpopularity of the war in Iraq, and more immediately, I believe it has to do with, as much as anything else, the high price of gasoline. And this is something that I've long said on Left Turn on Bird Street, is that the American public will tolerate a lot of things. Just in the last year alone, we have tolerated, and by meaning, when I say tolerate, I mean that we've listened, maybe with some interest, but we have not gotten up in arms about illegal wiretapping. We've tolerated corporate corruption. We've tolerated congressmen accepting bribes. We've tolerated corrupt congressmen going to jail. And we really haven't done anything. We've even tolerated the war in Iraq, which as of recently the United States has lost 2,300 soldiers and tens of thousands of civilian Iraqis, by some estimates over 100,000. We have tolerated all this. But what's most interesting to me, and this is goes back kind of to primal self-interest on the behalf of most Americans, it's not until people start getting hit in the pocketbook that they really pay attention. And the biggest way people are getting hit in the pocketbook right now is obviously the price of gasoline. Left Turn and Bird Street, as I said, we originate from Northern California. And in our regional market here, gasoline has reached $3.25 a gallon. Now, I know it's been argued for a long time that the price of gasoline should be taxed to lower consumption, and that's a valid argument. However, the high price of gasoline now, you know, does not have to do with taxes, and these aren't taxes that are going to fund health care or child or education or mass transit. These high prices are funding the likes of former ExxonMobil CEO Ray Allen, who recently left his chairmanship at ExxonMobil with a $400 million retirement package. And that goes on top of the millions of dollars he made in his annual salary. So basically, the American public is getting screwed financially by major oil corporations And this is what's getting the attention of the American people. It's not the Fitzgerald investigations. It's not the corruption charges around people like Richard Pombo of Tracy, of John Doolittle, who represents the Oroville in the House of in the Congress. Not around Randy Duke Cunningham, who is already sentenced and is now serving time in federal jail, all in that was on corruption charges of accepting over $2.5 million. It's not Tom DeLay. It's not Porter Goss or Mr. Fargo, who is alleged to have run a prostitution ring from the Watergate Hotel. It boils down to money. So I'm sure you're asking yourself, what does this mean for me? What does it mean for the rest of this year? What does it mean for the midterm elections? And these are going to be my predictions for the following year, or now through November at least. I think you're going to see a lot of pressure from the Bush administration, maybe not until the end of the summer, to bring down the price of gas to below, at least here in Northern California, to $3.290. I predict by the time we get into mid-September, late October, the price of gasoline is going to be down to below $3 a gallon. And I think that's going to happen nationally, if for no other reason to take the pain, the sting out of people's pocketbooks, because a populace that is paying higher prices for gas is going to be a mad populace. I don't think the people in the United States, unfortunately, have the capacity to distinguish that they're being screwed in other ways, such as wiretapping, an unfair tax code, or any of the other ways the Bush administration has perpetrated their fraud on the American people. It's going to boil down to the price of gas. So there'll be extreme pressure from the Bush administration, not only on the oil companies to lower their prices to keep them happy in the long run. There'll also be some pressure applied on countries like Saudi Arabia to increase their flow of oil so that prices can come down. Unfortunately, I think most people, most Americans, are going to fall for it. They're going to fall for it hook, line, and sinker, notwithstanding a possible indictment of Karl Rove, notwithstanding a possible indictment and conviction of former House Majority Leader Tom DeLay, notwithstanding corruption charges against Congressman John Doolittle, notwithstanding corruption charges against Congressman Richard Pombo. None of that's going to matter. What's going to matter to the American public is ultimately how well they're doing economically. And if the president continues to push his fraudulent talk on how tax cuts have helped people, and he can bring down the price of gas, he and Dick Cheney, by the time election time comes around, they'll be sitting pretty. You've been listening to Left Turn on Bird Street. My name is Dan Galworthy. Thank you very much for joining me. I appreciate you spending some time with me. I invite you to take a look at the blog that Tom Nadel and I operate on the internet. It's located at www.ltobs.blogspot.com. And thanks for joining us, and we'll see you again.